Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Roger.
Yes, my dear friends, welcome to ET First Contact Radio. My name is Maarten Horst and I'm your host as every week, and we have a special program today with a very special guest, Mr. Ward M. Powers. And Mr. Ward is the co-creator, director and producer of the one movie and the one project, and that has been he has been practicing trial attorney in Michigan for over 22 years. One is his first foray into independent filmmaking. An amateur musician, sculptor, and author of Voices in Verse 2000, that was published in 2000. And Mr. Ward has enjoyed a lifelong interest in the arts and creative expression. He lives in Novi, Michigan, with his wife Diane, and Diane is also a co-producer of the movie, and his three daughters. So I want to welcome you to the show, Mr. Ward.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's very nice to have you, and I have seen the one movie a couple of times now, and it's such a very important message, especially for the world today, that we are all one. And I want to shoot off with a question. I was very impressed, and you told in the movie as well that you were very impressed by Dr. Robert Thurman when you asked him about the situation of planet Earth. He sat there still, he didn't move, and he looked down, and that lasted for a long time. And can you maybe bring back that memory when you were sitting there on that mountaintop when you was interviewing Mr. Thurman?
Yes, well, for those of in your audience that haven't seen the film, and it's a moment where we were doing interviews, and where Dr. Robert Thurman is the first American-born Tibetan Buddhist monk, and he happens to be the famous film actress Uma Thurman's father, but he's a great spiritual teacher, and he was kind enough to invite us to his home on the top of a mountain in upstate New York in the United States, and we were very honored to be there, and we were new filmmakers at the time. We were just really figuring out how to use our equipment. And one of the questions that we ask as part of this project is we ask everybody in the film, it was a nonverbal question. And so we said, without words, show or act out what you believe to be the current condition of the world. And it's a rather unique question anyway, because when somebody's sitting being interviewed, they're expecting, you know, more traditional types of questions. And that was a rather unusual question. And when I asked him the question, as you see when you watch the movie, he sits and stares at me. He doesn't make a move. He doesn't flinch. He doesn't move a muscle. He doesn't lean side to side. He hardly breathes. He just stared into my eyes. And I was waiting for him to answer the question, of course, or move, or, you know, many people have made different types of motions and so forth, and he did nothing. He just stared, and the staring took place, it felt to me like it went on for an hour, but it was actually probably a little over a minute or two. Mm-hmm. And then when he finished staring at me, he said, and that's it. And then he asked for the next question. And yeah. It was a remarkable experience for me because I wasn't expecting it. I didn't know what to make of it. I was intimidated to be there. And it felt to me, Martin, like so much of life feels to many people, where you're overwhelmed, where you don't know what to make of it. And then all of a sudden that the whole mystery of it opens itself up to you in a moment of silence. In the moment where you think you know nothing, you realize you know everything. In the moment where you feel as though you are lost and that you are you're in the wrong place and nothing makes sense to you, then all of a sudden you realize with great certainty it's all okay. And that's what happened to me on that mountaintop with Dr. Robert Thurman. And that is that I felt after, let's say, 30 seconds, and at first I thought, oh, gee, he doesn't like this question. Oh, he thinks this is stupid. Oh, he's mad at me for asking this question. All of these fear kinds of thoughts that we all have all the time. We're afraid. And then all of a sudden he stayed with staring at me, and I stayed with staring at him. And then the fear went away. And when the fear went away, what was left was this wonderful sense that I was sitting at the top of a mountain with this amazing person, making a film on a beautiful summer afternoon, and that everything in the cosmos was okay, and I was okay, and this was a beautiful adventure. And it all happened in the silence, and I think that was a very telling and compelling moment for me personally and in the story of the film, because that little piece, when it happened, we didn't know how that was going to fit into the movie. And yet, once the editing process started 2 years later, that piece ended up being the center point of much of what happens in the film.
Yeah, but because that's one of the aspects that makes the film such a strong work of art, that is bringing the message to us that we can find oneness also in the silence. And I was very impressed also by this chapter in the movie. And amongst others, you have also interviewed Chris Willis, and he's a homeless guy in Colorado. And when you asked him to make a wish for the world, he said, "I can't make a wish," because he was very honest. And I have to tell the listeners, in the one movie which you can acquire on the oneproject.com,
oneproject.com.
Yeah, one the oh, pardon me, yes, I'm sorry. Oneproject.com. Yes.
Okay.
And in the bonus features of the DVD, you can see that when you were presenting the movie, I think it was in a theater somewhere, your wife was talking quite emotionally, Diane Powers, about this guy Chris Willis from Colorado. When you asked him the question to make a wish for the world, he became very honest. He first had to think about this question, and then a very special answer came. Maybe you can talk a bit about this young man, because he made quite an impression on me.
He made quite an impression on everybody, and one was released a few years ago and has now been seen by a couple of million people, so it's become quite popular for a movie that was literally made in the basement. But one of the things I love about it the most is that it includes not only the voices of Deepak Chopra and Thich Nhat Hanh and, you know, many famous spiritual teachers, but it also includes everyday people on the street and their voices and their opinions and their thoughts and their wishes and their dreams. And one of those people was a young man in the hills of in the mountains of Colorado and in the western United States. We were on our way to interview a famous spiritual teacher, and we stopped for lunch, and outside of the restaurant were these four kids, and you could tell they were kind of homeless kids, and they were just had their skateboards, and they were sitting outside, and my wife said, you know, if we're really doing a movie about oneness, and we want to show how we are all connected, it's not just about some spiritual or enlightened being, it's about real people and that connection that lives within inside each of us. And she said, we need to interview these kids. So I went and got the camera, and we started to interview this young man. And when we asked him the question, what is your wish for the world? It was one of those moments of kind of movie magic where you're making the film, and as I was sitting there watching him struggle to answer this question, and then his hand started to tremble. And then he said, you know, I don't think I'd make a wish for the world. I just don't think I'm worth it.
Yes.
And when he resigned himself in that moment of honesty, that's how he felt inside of himself. He had the courage to be humble in that moment where, you know, where most of us would have come up with some kind of a clever answer or said something we thought was smart or thoughtful. But this young man went past all of that and instead answered in a way that opened up his complete vulnerability. He showed in his answer that vulnerability that exists in all of us, where we all feel that weak and that open and that afraid. And when he struggled with that answer and then he said those words and his hand trembled, I knew in that moment that something magical we had just captured something really magical on film. And it was magical in the sweet, small, human way that things can be magical. And it turned out when the movie came out that he became one of the most talked about and popular personalities in the film. And he's a homeless kid. And I mean, really, we would finish screening the film, and yeah, somebody would ask about Deepak Chopra, somebody would ask about somebody else from the film, but everybody wanted to know about Chris Willis. Here's this kid that steals the show with nothing, not with his brilliance and not with his power and not with his mysticism. He steals the show with his vulnerability, with his weakness, like Christ. Christ was all about weakness, all about vulnerability, all about hanging on that cross and suffering. And this boy lived it out in a moment of film that has really touched a lot of people's lives.
Yes, and that makes us human, our vulnerability.
Exactly. That's where we're all tied. When you say how we all one, there's where we're all one. Every single one of us shares that wound, shares that weakness, and spends an entire lifetime trying to concoct stories and strength and power and image and control, all of these things that we work so feverishly to, you know, put together these masks. And then when somebody's got the courage to take that mask down and say, here it is, here's what it really is, then you're like, oh, my God, that's me. That's me too. Thank you for showing me that we're all in this together.
Yes. And Ward, I want to tell you that I have found some music that really represents this oneness and but also this weakness. It's from a Portuguese fado singer. It's a lady. Her name is Dulce Pontes. Uh-huh. And Don't Sit Ready. It's very beautiful, and I think many listeners and yourself will be touched by this music because it's so much touching this vulnerability, and it's very good that you come to this point to speak about Chris Willis and vulnerability, and that's where we find this oneness, in silence and vulnerability, like being a child, and like Christ where you spoke about. So if you can hold on a couple of minutes, then we'll play this music, and then we can talk about why we are here, and that's been answered in the movie.
Perfect. I'd love to hear it.
Okay, here we go, Donald.
Shit.
Naked in the Now.
Word.
This is
yes.
Touching the heart, you know, it's getting to the core. And we were talking about Chris Willis with his answer, that his humbleness. And this lady, how she sings, is really touching the core of our being.
I think there's something about music like that, that, and I feel this way about film, which is why the soundtrack for one, the movie, was something we were very cautious about putting together, and we selected a lot of really unique types of musicians to offer music for our soundtrack, because I think music has a very unique ability to touch the soul in a way that words and logic and reason and conversation can't. I think those things all speak to our mind, and that's fine, but in order to go deeper and to know experientially the magic that lives in this world, the music and the vibration of the sound has that power to touch a person and make them know things that their mind can't comprehend.
And yes, it's beyond words.
Like that, it reminds me of that reality. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, and Ward, is the soundtrack from the one movie, is it available on wonderproject.com?
Yes, on that's correct. The soundtrack, there's a few left that were almost sold out of those, but at wonderproject.com you can get the movie itself. And also, you can get a conversation guide, and that's, we had so many people when the movie came out, it attracted so much attention. We were finding that there were groups setting up all over the world that were using the film for gatherings and to promote conversation in churches and in youth groups and in neighborhoods and in libraries and schools. And we thought that it would be helpful to go through the movie chapter by chapter and discuss the different themes and offer people our insights in terms of as filmmakers, what we were trying to accomplish with each scene, and then also offer some questions that might be asked in group settings. And so for anybody from your listening audience that might want to get a copy of the movie, I'd be happy to have my people send them a free conversation guide. If anybody wants to write me, email me at Ward, W-A-R-D, Ward at onetheproject.com. I'll make sure that I take care of it. Because okay. I think that there are a lot of listeners in your audience that may not be familiar yet with this project. And I have a sense that this project would resonate very deeply with your listeners.
Oh, yes, because my listeners are all people that are, interested in the deeper things and the deeper meanings of life. And, of course, the main subject is UFOs and ETs. But first of all, we on Earth have to live as one, as the title of the movie, the One Project, the One Movie, in order to be ready to meet with those star beings. We need to.
Well, and I think too, in another way, that we are one with those beings too. That life itself is, you are one with life, and anything that you encounter, if it's an extraterrestrial or if it's a being that is not currently known to our awareness, we are one with that as well, because
yes.
It's life that it is life that lives within us. It is life that animates us and makes us stand erect and talk to one another. It's life that makes us love and care and cry and want to live. It's life inside of us. And anything we meet, from whatever it comes from, is in fact another aspect of life. And so we are that life. We are one with everything, not just each other, but we're one with the earth and we're one with the universe. And therefore, anything in this universe, any life form in this universe, is one with us. We are connected with it. We have to be connected to it. Because there's only one source of life, and that we are all from that source of life. And so that which causes you to draw breath in this moment and which causes your listener to tune into this station and to think those thoughts, that which within you that is listening, that is life. That is who you are. Where we are all one.
Yes, indeed. I agree with you, and that's so beautiful. And you know, Ward, there was one guy in your movie, in the one movie, that is a kind of artist, I think. I forgot his name. But when you asked him the question of the meaning of life, he said that when you watch Planet Earth from space, you don't see different races with different colors and religions. You see all life as one, all flowers, bees, animals, humans. It's just one sphere of life. And that was also a very beautiful answer, I think.
Yeah, that was a musician. He was actually a jazz drummer, and he played at the big Woodstock music festival back in the 60s in the United States. That was such a big phenomenon, and we were able to interview him, and yes, he made a very good point. He said, when you look at the Earth and space, it's just one living being. You don't see it as separate. Only when you get confused and you're up close and your mind tells you you're separate, but you're not. We're not. We are connected to everything. And the beauty of that, Martin, I think, is that when, and this is really what won the movie, is intending to inspire within you, that you have, when people watch this film, it sounds crazy, but I know you've seen it a couple times. I've gone to screenings where people have seen it 8 or 10 times, and they watch it over and over and over again, because every time you watch it, it's put together like a giant puzzle. And so every time it touches a different part of you. And what it's meant to do is not to satisfy your mind, but it's meant to stimulate your, shake up your, the way in which you look at the world, so that you don't see yourself as separate from it, from any other person, from any other event, from any other time, but you see yourself as one with life. Because the moment that shift happens inside of you, and it's a wonderful gift if it can happen to us sometime in our lifetime, where you recognize with great certainty for a moment that you are, in fact, one with all things. Everything in that moment falls away, and there is no fear, and there is no anxiety, and there is no depression, and there's no struggle, and there's no fighting and judging. It's gone. Gone, because it is all within you. And then you realize for a moment that this is true, then you can never be the same again. You can never be the same again. If even if you regain your normal state of awareness, if you've experienced oneness deeply at some moment in your life, you always know that that's the truth. You always know that that's the truth. And then you are free. Liberation. You know, freedom, true freedom. I can't imagine how many listeners of yours right now, when they think, what do I want? What do I want? What will make me happy? What do I want? Every one of us really desires liberation, freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the contraction of thinking we're separate. Because with that comes, I'm afraid. I'm going to lose something. I might get sick. Wonder if I lose my money. Wonder if I get old. Wonder if somebody that loves me stops loving me. Wonder if, and you're endlessly worried. And the minute you realize that you're one with everything, all of those worries can leave. And then what is left after that leave is freedom. Freedom to walk through this planet and live this life unattached to all of that nonsense that somebody told you was the truth. That some poor person, meaning well, told you you're separate, told you that you're this type of person and that type of, from this type of background and with this type of culture and with this type of religion, and this is what God is like, and this is what, and somebody told you all of that stuff, and then all you believed all of that stuff, and then when you believed it all, this voice started talking in your head, and it started to tell you you're separate. You are Martin. You are such and such an age, you live in such and such a place, you are this kind of person, you are, and all of a sudden you became that, instead of what you really are, and that is a piece of life, a speck of life on the planet in this moment of time. That's what you are. That's what I am. That's what every listener is that's hearing my voice. That's what we are. Because when you're only that, when you're just that speck of life, it's all good. It's all okay.
You're one with everything, and there's no longer any reason to worry. And I think that is the real message of the movie. And you know, how do you tell such a story in a movie? That was the challenge. But I really think in so many ways that one, the movie accomplished that for in an almost miraculous way. You know, I know we really haven't had a chance to talk about the story of the movie itself, but I'm not a filmmaker. And when I set out on this journey to make this film that I didn't know how to make, if you tell this message that is almost impossible to tell, I didn't have a script. I didn't have a budget. I didn't know how to run a camera. I didn't have an actor. I didn't have even a storyboard. I didn't even know what I was going to do. But somehow, some way, the door swung open, and in came everybody and everything we needed to make this happen. And then when it opened in theaters in the United States a few years ago, it was the number one movie first screen in the country for 2 weeks. And it all happened in a basement on an Apple computer.
Well, you know, Ward, I think that this project was also guided divinely to bring this message to the world that we are all one. Because, you know, when you see the mainstream media, especially after 9/11, they try to divide us to have fear from our other religions, other races. And in fact, in 2005, I think, or 2006, when the one movie came out, people were needing it so much, and they still need it today. This positive message.
Yeah, the message is as relevant today as it was when the movie came out, because this truth, the fact that we're one, this is the next evolution in human awareness. This is what's coming. It's not a matter of if it's going to come. You know, it is going to come, and this is the truth, and this is the way, and this is, and it's going to come from all different kinds of, we're going to recognize this in our politics, in our economies, in our religions, or lack of religions, or changing of religions, where the old religious orders start to fall away, and people recognize that these religions that divide us into little groups and tell us that our group is special to God, and that we have a special connection, and that God likes us better than that group, that those ideas are not going to be accepted anymore by the young people. The next generation coming up is not going to accept that en masse like happened in generations gone by. They're not going to listen to that anymore because they feel judged. They don't want their friends and their families judged. People don't want to be divided anymore, because the truth is, Martin, we cannot live divided anymore. We cannot. This planet will not sustain itself if we're divided. And so the wisdom and the intelligence that is birthed into every moment is going to inform this change. And my little role in it, and one of the movie, this, you know, movie that I put into the world, is, you know, one little speck in that story. But the work you're doing is another speck in that story. And your show and the listeners, your show and the message that you're putting out there is another reminder of this. And each person in their own way, from their own place, their own time, raises their hand silently and says, I'm a part of this too. I'm a part of this too. My kids will be a part of this too. And then little by little, we're all joined forces. And then there'll be a tipping point when enough people have come to this realization that the energy will shift and the consciousness will shift, and the politics will change, and the strife between nations will change. Maybe it will be in 5 years, maybe it will be in 10 years, maybe it will be in our grandchildren's lifetime. But it will happen. And all we can say is, we had to say, when we were on this planet, we did the best we could to promote conversation and thoughts and experiences that help people move in that direction.
Exactly. And Ward, we are all one, and I want to tell the listeners that this movie is really great. OneTheProject.com, go there, and maybe for your family or your friends, or for gathering a theater or a living room, you can invite your friends and watch the movie. It's such an important message, and I've seen a lot of spiritual movies, but this one really steps out because the message is so profound. And Ward, I want to ask you something. I have a little part of the movie, and I'm going to play 10 seconds, only the audio from it, because what this priest is saying is also one of the core messages of the movie. So it's coming here. Okay.
Okay, great.
And finally, the realization that there is no other. You and the other are one. Always have been, always will be. You just think that you aren't.
Well, that part is just so beautiful, Ward. That realization.
You know that. That is Father Thomas Keating that's speaking those words. And when the movie opened in theaters in San Francisco, there was a woman that sent me an email, and she said, I just got home from the movie theater, and I saw your movie. And she said, when it got to the end, and that not to, for spoiler alert, but that's kind of the high, that's kind of the closing moment of the movie there. And when Father Keating said those words, she said, I was in the theater, and I started to cry so hard that I couldn't control myself. And she said, and I drove an hour home that night because, and she said, and what made me cry was that I've always known that was the truth. I've always known that that was the truth. And when he said it at the end of the movie, it was like, finally, someone told me it's okay. It is the truth. And she said, it was so overwhelming for me that I sobbed like a baby for an hour in my car driving home, and I thought, wow, now that is exactly what you all, when you think about making a movie or doing some form of art, that's the kind of response you dream of having, where you can actually take words and images and touch someone's heart that deeply. And I think One the Movie has had the ability for some strange reason to do that, and I'm grateful to have been a part of making that happen.
Well, Ward, I can tell you that I had to cry, and not only the first time when I saw that part, because he said there is no other, and he says it with such a calm in his voice, and it's an old man, an old priest, but with such a wisdom and such a pureness by bringing this message, and it's so touching, so beautiful.
Yeah, he was a very special man. And when one of the fun kind of parts of the journey for us was after we would do interviews with these famous spiritual teachers, we would often have a chance to sit down with them after and have dinner. And so we took Father Thomas Keating out to dinner after we did his interview in the mountains. We were in the mountains of Colorado, and it was a moon. It was a starlit night, and we dropped him off at his monastery. And after the dinner, and we just stood outside in the silence with him for probably 5 minutes, my wife and I. And we didn't speak, and we said no words, and there were no words to be said. We stood there in that silence with that 80-year-old priest, and when you're in the presence of somebody that has experienced oneness and knows it like these people do, there is a power and an energy that almost permeates you. It shakes you to your core. It's a real unique experience to be with some of these masters. I'm sure another personality from the film that you will remember well is the Sufi master Llewellyn Vaughn Lee.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that opens the film, and his voice also closes the film. And we had a very unique experience with him. He's with the Naqshbandi tribe of Sufism, and they are silent Sufis, so they sit in the silence for many, many hours every day, and they were a beautiful, beautiful group of people, because imagine how still you are within when you sat in the silence for hours every day for years. And so when we finished doing his interview, we were sitting around a table, and the table fell silent, and we knew not to speak, and there was an energy that moved through that room that I can't almost describe to your listeners, because It defies anything that you would know in your regular experience. But where you sense the presence of life in such an intense way that it's not like anything else you've ever known. And then after we had that conversation, or after we sat there in the silence, he said, the work you're doing is very important. And he was able to, again, he went and got a telephone, and he handed the phone to me, and the woman on the other end of the phone ran a foundation who said, how are you paying for this? And I said, well, this is my wife and I's vacation money. And they were kind enough to contribute money to make the whole film. So that, you know, just because they knew the message was so important. And I think that's such a beautiful way of recognizing that that you're in the right space. Because when doors open like that, you know you're in the right space. And even now, so many people ask me, are you going to do a sequel? Are you going to do a sequel? You know, your first movie was such a hit, and everyone loves it so much. And the people that are fans of Won the Movie are really fans of Won the Movie. They watch it over and over, and they tell their friends, and that's how it spread, because we never had an advertising budget and so forth. So, but people now come to me and say, when are you going to do a sequel? And I said, you know, there will be a person that hears the story, that has the resources, that recognizes the importance of this message, that will come and say, we're here. Because we said when we make this movie, the sequel, we want to be able to pay everybody that works on it. Because these artists and musicians and film editors, these people are trying to support families, and they need, and last time around, we had a lot of people volunteer, which was very nice. But this time, we want to support people, and we said when the right person comes along and when they hear these words, they'll know to reach out and say, I've been, you know, I had the blessing of good fortune of resources, and I want to help. We're here to make this happen for you. And then together we'll make a sequel to this movie. And I just think that will be the day we know that it's right.
Well, let's attract this day to come that this will happen. And I must tell you, Ward, that in the beginning of the movie, you are saying that you are not a Hollywood team or project with the experience of Hollywood. But I must say, the way the film was edited, I forgot the name of the editor. But it's done in a very professional way. And through the movie, there's a red wire with the guy in the hotel, you know, who wakes up depressed and he goes out the door. There's a red line when he sees that child, this little girl, I think, sitting below a tree. But I think that's also telling a story for, like, wake up, people, go outside, explore the world, meet people, and socialize and talk to people. Because sitting inside alone, you know, that doesn't solve the problem. And you see at the end of the movie, the person that's playing the role who stays in the hotel, he's in fact very, his life is changed.
Yeah, that's a very good observation. And that was a piece of the movie. The movie has three threads in it, and that's one of the threads, and that exactly as you just described it. The movie opens with a man that wakes up in a hotel room in a very bad place. And you can tell he's in a bad place. And then he sets out into the world, and he walks through a day. And as these interviews unfold and the story of this oneness unfolds, then this man goes through it during the day, and at some point he travels. And then you'll notice, and I'm sure you picked this up, but you notice, like, the man started off in a black and white world, and then at some moment his world came into color after he explored the meaning of life. And then that man turned into color, kind of like the Wizard of Oz. Remember the movie The Wizard of Oz, where when it goes from black and white to color, and that represents the transition. And so too in our movie, that then when the man in the story, he turns colored because he's coming up to life, he's waking up, and just like you said, our vision was to say, people, we're all in that place at the beginning of the movie. We all wake up one day and say, I can't take this anymore. Or say, I don't want to feel like this anymore. I'm sad. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I'm afraid. I'm lonely.
we say it a hundred different ways. And then one day, we see something or we hear something that reminds us that it's possible to move forward. And this movie, one, the movie is really meant to be that nudge. It's that wake-up call. It's that whisper in your ear, wake up, wake up. It's okay, wake up. And that sense that someone's out there that knows you, that recognizes where you're at, that you think, oh, my God, you felt that too? Oh, my God, you know what I'm thinking or how I'm feeling? Yes, I do. Yes, we all do. We've all been there. And then somebody says something, and then all of a sudden you say, you know what, I can change. I can take a step in this direction. And then the power of the universe can help me from there. And that's how it works, Martin. That's the truth. And so if you're listening to this and you felt that or feel that way, lonely or sad or depressed or anxious, or even feeling like I have this strong sense there's something more, there's some magic here that we're not living with, this movie is for you. This is what it says. This is what it will remind you. And you'll know you're not alone.
We are surrounded by life, and life is always omnipresent in the universe. And on this planet, we can make this planet a beautiful place. And a beautiful example to see this is to go to wonderproject.com and get the movie. And you can share it with your family, with your community, in your local theaters, and talk about it with your community. It's really a reminder of the fact that we are all one. And Ward, I want to ask you some final questions. One of the questions you asked many people in the movie is, who am I? And that question is so deep and profound. But why don't you tell the listeners your own take on it? Who am I?
At the end of the day, that question, I think, is really what we're all left with. And when you can ask, what is the meaning of life? The types of questions that we ask in the film, for your listeners, is, what is the meaning of life? Describe God. Why is there poverty and suffering in the world? What happens to a person after they die? Those types of questions. But then after you've asked and thought about those questions, the question that still seems to be looming large and sits right on the table in front of you is this question. So, all of this being so, who am I? Who am I? And I think the challenge to that, to even asking that question seriously, is that you have to look beyond the superficial to answer that question, because you are much more than Martin. You are much more than, you know, a man of this age, in this culture, of this religion, from this family, with this ethnic background, with this type of health and this level of mental capacity, all of those things you might describe yourself as in the physical world is just literally a thin sheet of who you are. And underneath that thin facade of who you think you are is a truth that is so profound that it scares the crap out of people to think about, because who you are is life. Who you are underneath that stuff, those names and those dates and those stories and those people and that heritage and those lineage and those traditions, who you are underneath all of that, who you are is life itself. And once you connect and you get to the point where then you say, what is life? What is life? Who is talking and who is listening? Who between us right now, who is, you know, what is this going on? You're listening to me. I'm listening to you. We're sharing a story. We're on different continents. People listen to us. What's going on here? This is what I'm talking about. Because there, life is listening and watching itself unfold. And it's like the rolling edge of a universe going out that we're all putting our voices into. And it's an unfolding, beautiful process of life coming into being, and it's so powerful, and it's so magnificent, and it's so beyond time and space, and it just is. And then, and this is what I think Father Keating, at the end of the movie, in that clip that you played, this is what he was talking about. You recognize that there is no other, that you and the other are one, always have been, always will be. We are one in the sense that it is one life that is unfolding, and we're a part of it, and we can play with it, and we can enjoy it, and we can grow in it, and we can, and we're free. We're free because we are that life. It's not, it lives within us, and so therefore, for this moment, when it's residing in us, we have the privilege of being alive. We have the honor of being able to witness for one more day this magnificence of this world in all of its splendor as life surges out of the planet in 1,000 different plants and 1,000,000 different animals and 7 billion different human expressions. Here it comes, and here it comes, and here it comes. And what is that's who you are. You are all of those things. We are all of those things. And that when you get that, when you know that, then you can even start to say, oh, my gosh, who am I? I am life. And, wow, that is a powerful, powerful realization, because that is what all of the great spiritual traditions from Buddhism to Hinduism to Christianity, mystical Christianity, all of these traditions were originally founded by enlightened people that came to that realization. And then they spoke that truth, and people heard it, and they knew it. And then as the story got retold, did you ever sit in one of those groups when you were kids and you'd whisper a story, a secret, and as it went down the line, the story kept changing? And then the kid at the end of the line got a whole different story than the first kid told, because it kept getting swapped around as it got told. Then our religions have done that. But the truth is, the original truth of all of them is this reality. And that is all empowering. And it is the ultimate truth. And that's why once you know you are that thing, once you know you are life, then the rest is all a dream.
Yes, indeed. Well, this was ET First Contact Radio, and my guest was Ward Powers. And Ward, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on the show. And if you want to see the one movie, go to wonderproject.com, and you can get the movie there. Ward, it was such a special interview, and I'm going to send you the recording. And I want to close off by an outro. Instead of my usual outro for the show, I will start the outro with this little clip from the one movie. Ward, I want to thank you again, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me, Martin. It was a pleasure.
And for the listeners, next week I will have Bernie, and he is a military who has been involved with UFOs in his career. So that will be the surprise for next week. And for now, namaste, love and light, and enjoy the show after this with Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard. And we'll close off with this outro from the one movie. Thank you, Ward.
Thank you.
Still a capital O. And finally, the realization that there is no other. You and the other are one. Always have been, always will be. You just think that you aren't.
I'll give you a chance to answer them. So right now, for our remaining few minutes, get online, because here's the question, and I want to know your answer to this. What is the meaning of life?
Yes, what is the meaning of life? Now, well, when you want to know it, go to wonderproject.com. Until next week, my friends, namaste.